Welcome to the PMP Weekly. It is 8th of June 2020 and it is episode 86. We're closing into 100, Waldeck, so we need to figure out what do we do on that 100th session. Yeah, if there's a good idea, by the way, for anybody who's watching or listening, let us know. Anyway, so today we have actually two different visitors, but let's start with quickly on the introduction. So the PMP Weekly is all around what's happening around the Microsoft 365 area. So SharePoint development, Microsoft, not just development, but SharePoint, Microsoft Teams, Microsoft Graph and all of those topics as well. And we're mixing things and we're always covering the latest articles from the Microsoft and community as well. And typically we do have visitors, but before we go there, Waldeck, who are you? What are you doing for Link? I didn't, by the way.
Everybody, my name is Valdemar Sikas. I am head of product at Rancor. I am MVP and I'm here the whole week.
Excellent. And my name is Esa Juponen. I'm a program manager in the OneDrive SharePoint engineering team. Now, let's actually go to our visitors. Let's start with Paolo. Can you do a quick introduction? You've been in the show before as well.
Yes, once before in my life. I'm Paolo Pelorsi. I'm a senior consultant. I work in a company of my own called PSS.com, an MVP and a member of the PMP team. That's it.
Cool. And then David, who are you?
David Warner. Live in Los Angeles, work for Catapult Systems, principal consultant, MVP, member of the PNP team as well. So excited to be on the show today.
Welcome. So we wanted to actually, we were getting this question quite a few times with Waldeck on the social media. And the question was, Waldeck, what was the question?
How do we get to do so much? Or in other words, how do we get so much done? Because apparently it seems like we're doing more than usual or more than people would assume you can do, combining a full-time job, family, kids, hobbies, and so forth and so on. Yeah. So,
for me,
yeah.
No, I'm just saying, are we actually doing more than anybody else? Is it perception?
Well, that's so doing more perception is, so on the outside, it seems like we do a lot. And I guess it's meant to towards us as a compliment, right?
Yep.
So how about we spend some time and also involve our lovely guests who are also a part of PNP. They're also MVPs, meaning they do more than the average, you would say, sharing their knowledge, being passionate about tech. So how about we spend some time talking about like their perspective, their ideas, how they manage their time, how they get to do so much done, and then maybe we can chime in into that.
Sounds good. Let's start with David this time. So David, you've been super active on the community. You're running different multiple initiatives. You are publishing videos and samples and all of that stuff. So how do you do that? What's your secret?
Well, so that's the thing, right? Is time is the great equalizer.
Salt.
I think last time we talked about having little Oompa Loompas everywhere, right? So yeah, they've cloned. That's the end of that. No. I mean, that's the one thing about all of us, right? We have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so that's kind of the great equalizer. For me, when I started initially reaching out and doing more, I knew that there was not like I could keep everything in the world that I was working on, all my personal interests, and add to it. I have two kids, a wife, family, et cetera. So I made choices. I said, well, what is it that I'm willing to get rid of or maybe, you know, deprioritize in my life so that I can do more and be fully vested. I mean, obviously, looking at behind me, I'm a little passionate, obsessive, compulsive in things, right? If I'm going to throw myself into something, it's going to be 100%. So I just started making decisions around, all right, what do I do that I don't need to do? And you kind of start balancing that out. Of course, as we all talk about, family is always, always, always comes first. So you never start saying, oh, I'm going to spend less time with the family. That isn't going to work out well. But having their understanding and support, that does work out well, right? Yep. So them being passionate about what it is that you do, making sure that they're okay with the things you're doing. I tend to try to involve them. When I go to SharePoint Saturdays, my wife will volunteer, my son will volunteer, he'll go learn. So I try to find ways for them to get involved too. So it's not like two different lives kind of thing.
Yep.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah. I can agree with you. My secret is that I have 48 hours per day, actually. So
there we go.
There's two of you.
Just kidding.
If you move fast enough to ears, yeah, it wouldn't that
exactly,
be true.
Exactly. So. Exactly. That's my secret. Now you spoiled it. No, seriously. My secret is that my job, my work is also my hobby. So I was just making a joke a few days ago on Facebook. Every single month, I get the report from Office 365 about my activity. And I always, or almost every single month, I get a report with zero quiet days.
Quiet hours.
Quiet hours. But it's not a problem, because actually it means that if I'm working or if I'm taking care of my hobby, I'm almost doing the same thing. And then, of course, I save some time for my family, because my family is always the first priority. And I have a wife and three kids as well. So I'm quite busy with my family. But still, whenever I'm not with my family, I'm on my keyboard or maybe swimming 3 hours a week. No more than that. But aside from swimming, I'm always on my keyboard having fun doing my job. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably one of the big secrets is that when it's hobby, when you combine the sharing is caring is your hobby, and helping people is your hobby, and doing technology and computer science and this stuff is your hobby, it doesn't actually feel like you are working. Even though you're getting paid directly or indirectly from the work that you actually do. So it's definitely one of those things. I don't think anybody can do this level of social media engagement and videos and all of that stuff if it wouldn't be your passion to help the people. Because so even if it would be for, I want to get the knowledge, I don't think that motivation is enough. No. Unless there's the goodwill of actually doing this, so that people keep on doing that for years and years. So
I think we've seen exactly that, right? So in the past, like once in a while, you will see people who are not passionate about the content or the thing that they do, but they actually seek for the acknowledgement. And you see that they come up really fast, like they come up, but then the acknowledgement doesn't come quick enough, and then they drop. Because it's exactly as you say, right? Like if it's not the passion, if it's not in your heart, like you will drop it, right? Because it takes time to create that momentum, to get that. Like they say, it takes like few years to become an overnight
success,
right?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So I guess it is exactly that. And I think that another thing that maybe people, I don't know if they underestimate or just don't see, is that for a big part it's perception, right? It seems like we do so much because we chose to do the things that we do in the open, right? So we are all about sharing. Like I think that there are plenty of folks who work just as much as we do, but because they don't choose to work in the open, whether because they don't want to or cannot.
I can't. Yeah, like, exactly.
It's less visible. Whereas for us, it's like we are on the front lines sharing everything with the pros and cons of that, right? Because like the moment you put your work in the open, well, you will be criticized and there will be people who will disagree, who will have different opinions, and you basically open yourself for all of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, having that passion, like you talked about, Waldeck, is what help drives, because not every day is going to be a great day. Not every day is going to be where you're spotlighted for doing something profound or amazing. And like you said, sometimes you're even going to get criticized because people aren't going to care for what you did. But you care enough and you're passionate enough to keep going. And that's that consistency that I know, Vesa, you always talk about is just being consistent. And then, I mean, Paolo works, he owns his own company, right? So I work for a company. I think, like you said, Vesa, we have these overlapping circles, right? And so our hobby, our passion aligns and overlaps with our job. And so finding a way to make sure that if you do work for a company, making sure that your company is supportive of that. Catapult's really good about that because there's a lot of overlapping circles. So the things that I'm doing in the community or the projects that I'm working on, I find a way that's going to benefit them as well, or a client.
Exactly.
Right. And so you almost like you get a double bonus there. You're double dipping on the benefits because helping the community, helping a client, helping the company, and you find a way that everybody buys in and benefits from it. So like you said, well, don't just look at, I want to be an MVP. That's all I care about. I want the recognition. I want to be an MVP because that's a flash
in
the pan.
Gonna work.
Yeah. You have to look at what is going to be beneficial for everybody. And when you do that, then eventually it'll all work out. But yeah. Like I said, with Catapult, we're starting our own little, what we're calling Cat PNP, to try to get folks to be to be communicative and collaborative and contributive and all of that. And so when you get the companies to support you in that way, then it doesn't feel like you're always having to just do your own time. It's not like it's only work outside, because if you can find a way for those overlapping circles to match, then you're doing work and you're helping the community. And then that's where you get Paolo's 48 hours a day, right? Because
that's
doing
how it
two
works.
Or three things Absolutely. At once and benefiting Absolutely. Multiple people.
But again, when you think about that, even in the York case, David, as an example, so it took quite a long time to get to the level of your leadership actually understanding the value of what you do, right? But then when I get there, then you can actually kind of start figuring out, okay, how do we make even more impact on that one? But getting all past that initial hurdle, it was a massive deal for me as well, because I worked as a consultant in Microsoft. We were building the original PMP was starting. We started building that during weekends and evenings. And eventually we got to the whatever we are right now, which is awesome. And that is part of my role and part of my work. But it wasn't like that when we started, definitely not.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't happen overnight.
But exactly. But I mean, it seems like a typical case for anything big, right? Like, you're passionate about something, you feel like you need to put it out there, right? And whether you get the approval or not, like, that's secondary. Like, you need to, like, you have an ish you need to scratch, whether everybody else likes it or not. Like, you need to get it done, and then you start doing that. And then only at some point you reach the level where you're like where people see the click, where they get it, this change you want to drive, and they're like, now I get it. Because, like, when you have this wild idea you're excited about, you probably mumble and talk like 200 words a second, and you're like,
excited. Like,
exactly. Like, what are the and more than often, like, people don't get, like, you think about it day in, day out. Like, it makes perfect sense in your mind. To everybody else, it doesn't, right?
Yeah.
So it takes some time for this idea to get a shape, materialize. And maybe even in a way for you to prove to others that you're there to stick, right? Because, like, to everybody else, it's just an idea. Like, what will make this idea stick, as opposed to just an idea that you will bring up and then you will move to another thing, and then everybody else is left with this kind of half-baked thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the consistency is important, because for yourself too, right? Because I talk to a lot of new ones in the community, especially now doing sharing is caring, and how can I do more? And do you blog? Do you do videos? Whatever you do that is contributive to the community, keep doing it. And some of them I'll talk to and they'll say, well, I started, but nobody visited my blog. Well, no one knows it's there. That's how it started. When I started, no one saw it. No one knew it. But keep plugging it. Keep creating, and eventually it's a snowball effect, and it'll build up. But you got to have that, let that passion, like you said, Waldick, whether people see it or not, let that passion and desire to share fuel you until it comes.
I had a chat a few days ago with one of my colleagues, and he said, why on earth are you still recording your videos on a weekly basis? Why do you do that? Just because I like sharing.
Because I have to.
Consistency, because it makes sense. Come on.
Yeah.
So, it does. Yeah. It absolutely does. So the one that I wanted to ask you, like, once you get into this state of you ship, and you ship something every day, and you ship something every week, like, once in a while, I will get to the place where, like, there is some new idea I'd like to do a research on. But I know that it's some new tag that it will probably take me days, if not weeks, to understand. So how do you balance it out, this need to ship, need to get things out there, versus let me now invest a few weeks or a month to get off the grid, research something, and then balance it out or bring it back?
Well, I usually try to keep and to save some of my time on a weekly basis for this kind of activities. So it is not something that every now and then I need to do. It is something that I do in a consistent way as well. So on a weekly basis, I have some time that I reserve to study new stuff, to dig into topics. And I try to do the same also with the people working with me. So I always allow them, bad word, allow them, but okay, we have an agreement. They spend some of their time learning new stuff and just experimenting with new stuff. Maybe it will be totally useless at the end, but we need to try.
Maybe not.
Yeah,
exactly.
We need to try that to be sure that it will be useful or useless. And it's really important.
Because if immediately when you look outside of your own comfort zone, you can actually learn multiple things and you can combine that, whatever you have, and voila, we can have even better stuff. And that's how we learn. And that's part of the, it has to be part of the day-to-day genes of the day-to-day activities, so to say. So being active and checking outside of the box as well, not just concentrating on the isolated things, definitely.
Well, and multiple hands make the load light, right? So
absolutely.
Feel like that's the cool thing about our community is it's global, worldwide, and people are starting to do more collaboration, and we have the technology that supports that. I mean, look at us right now in 4 different countries, right? Find others that fuel this or feel the same and have the same passion and ask them if they're willing to work with you on something. And then that way, it's not like you're taking in all that pressure to learn something new all on your own. You share it and then it becomes even more fun because it's a team effort. You've got chemistry and collaboration and all that. So,
if you like people. So
true.
It depends when where you live.
It helps.
No. But even though people would be shy or people wouldn't feel that comfortable of let's say engaging and having a discussion. But like you said, David, it's super valuable to trying to find the right connections. And you can actually find the right connections just by starting contributing, and being first active in GitHub, being first active in comments in social media. It doesn't mean that you need to go and knock on their doors. Don't do that, by the way. But rather even trying to find the suitable way of actually engaging. So,
And don't be afraid to ask, right? You'd be surprised how many people are willing to. They're both just scared. I mean, like, you know, we go to these events and people are afraid to walk up to one another, but they're like, I can't talk to them, but they didn't talk to me. What's wrong? Well, they're shy too.
Yeah, exactly.
They are. Yes, tell me about it. And to be honest, so as I'm walking to somebody and speaking in conferences right now feels like a utopia because we've been now isolated everybody. But as an example for me, as a personal just note and an example, I don't have any problems having this kind of discussions. I don't have any problems presenting. I don't have any problems of being going on the stage and do whatever, waving hands and talking. But having engagement, a one-to-one discussion with relatively new people, I'm not good at that. I'm shy. And
it's an interesting. Like, isn't that the case in all of our market, if you like? Isn't it the stereotype of an IT guy or even dev guy like not this extrovert, but like more on the introvert side, like more to yourself? More preferring things like IM versus in person stuff. So,
We are more comfortable that's why we're using a keyboard.
We're only ever socializing the tech side of us, right? Usually, once in a while, we're socializing the personal side. Vesa goes on walks, or we see Elio with the Legos, or something like that, right? But like the community close-ups that Bo and I do, that's the thing: is you go to these events and we're personalities, so people know us from videos like this and our blogs and videos. And then they'll come up and they'll say, I love that article you wrote or that video you did. And then it just kind of goes south from there because they don't know what else to say. But in the end, we're all still just humans and people and have unbelievable in similarities between the things we like that we just don't know, right? So taking some time just to ask questions, go to those share pints, right? Ask what it is they do, find out a little bit more about them. But that's hard because, like you said,
Well, hopefully we will have a share pint soon. Hopefully,
we'll see. We'll see how long that takes. And then also, like you said, being active, starting discussions, absolutely fine. It's just we're human beings. There's nothing special on that. Even though people always put other people on the podium, which is weird because they shouldn't. So we're just normal people. Now let's get back on the if or sorry about it.
No, it's okay.
Okay, what would be the, we talked about now, let's say the approach and how it feels like we're doing a lot of stuff. And yes, it's all about consistency and kind of every now and then even forcing you to deliver certain things bi-weekly, even though it's fun, but every now and then it might be busy and you need to balance out the things. What would be, let's say, what would be the tips on for new people in the community on getting to the same, let's say, process and same way of contributing and doing stuff.
Rule number one, shipped is better than perfect. Seriously.
Yeah, that's
like
a good rule.
You will never be done. Whatever you build, you will never be done. It will never be perfect because that's just the way of things. And that's the one thing that I learned really the moment I moved from doing projects to doing products. In project, you have start and an end and things are done. And it's thought being done. Well, it's not, right? Because they're like, you can always improve stuff. In products are never finished. Never, yeah. ever, right? But at some point, you need to share because otherwise you run out of money and time. So yeah. In other words, you need to get to something useful. And that thought really applies to anything, to an article, to a sample. You can keep polishing it into infinity. You can keep adding things, formatting code. You can make it like really beautiful. It doesn't make it per se more helpful, right?
I have to say,
raise your hand.
You said that immediately when you have something useful, and it doesn't have to be even useful because anything is better than nothing. Because even though you don't value the thing, sorry for concentrating on one word, what you said, even though you wouldn't value that thing, it's like, well, I've seen so many videos, other people are doing this, so I'm going to try this one. No. Because anything what you have done might be worth of gold to somebody else.
Yes.
It's not about, it's really subjective what is gold and what's valuable and what's not. So we're being way too self-critical to ourselves and basically, no, I've done this. No, it's not good enough. And that's one of the things what we're trying to do with the BNP from a day one, actually, when we started to think, just push out stuff as much as possible, because then people can find it and they can improve it. And another person improved it, another person improved it, and then voila, then it's magnificent. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, I've always got Vesa knows, a million ideas going a million miles a minute for different things. And I think I had a Finnish friend once tell me, what did you say, Vesa? It was 10% of what you deliver or 90% of the people are going to be happy with 10% of your idea.
Yeah.
Right. So like you said, don't feel like it has to be perfect. Get something out there and build on top of it. Right.
And ask for help, because if we are a community, you can ship the initial part of the project and then you can ask for help. That's why we have a community.
But that is also an interesting part, because being a dev, that is a counterintuitive thing. Why? If you have an idea, it's in your mind. And if you just build the code, put it out there, don't include any docs, like it's still very much in your head. Just because you put the code out there doesn't really enable anybody to help you. So you need to get out of your own head. You need to get out of your own way. Communicate the intent, the idea, the process. How do you build? How do you change? Basically, help others to help you.
Do you mean writing documentation?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I'm a developer. I don't do that. I'm a developer.
Yes, I said the word. Sorry. but it's very much that, right? It's very much that. If you want to do something with others, you have to enable them.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Making them, we talked about this quite a few times, actually. This is one of your favorite topics, Waldeck, I know. But it's really making sure that when people have that 1-30 minutes or 60 minutes or whatever they have time, they can actually come to a location and they can pick it up and grow and carry the thing forward. And then whatever the amount, but pushing it forward at least slightly. And it's, again, valuable for the next person. And that's really the key. Explaining why does it exist? Where is it? Where you can contribute? What are the things which are beneficial? So really, really important.
I mean, tips as well, if you want to start getting involved, I would say it depends on what you want to do. Do you want to blog? Do you want to do videos? But write down an outline of something. That's what I did. When I first started, I'm like, okay, I want to create a blog. I want to do the screenshot summaries. I want to share in this way. And that kind of put it up, but a little sticky note. So that way you've always got something to reference and remind yourself. And then to Waldeck, like you said, your passion, maybe write a little note to yourself on why you're doing it, right? So that when you do get criticized, you do get criticized, right? Or you feel
yeah.
you got something to help keep you driven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, should we go back on the? Should we do quickly the articles at this point and then come back on the sharing?
Yeah,
sharing is caring. Talking. We're gonna talk about sharing is caring in the articles as well, because absolutely, that's one of the fundamental things in the community. But let's first start with some of the Microsoft articles, and then there's some community articles, and then we'll close up with sharing is caring in the end. Now, this one actually came. What was it? 2 weeks ago already. Or 1.5, whatever, because we had a 1 week break on the BNP Weekly. But really great blog post from Mark Cashman related on a roadmap from May 2020 for SharePoint. And also Simon, who's one of the managers on the content migration technology, or PM, senior program manager there, a really great guy. You probably want to listen to that story as well. But there was pretty cool new functionalities coming on SharePoint, and a lot of this will be super beneficial in the Microsoft 365 site. So SharePoint home sites are live, which is a good thing. So you can basically move into the home site from clicking the SharePoint, you'll always land in the home site, or if you click that one in the mobile, you'll always land at the home site as well. And you can really easily set it up using SBO PowerShell. Yammer conversation web part, quite big thing actually internally. So, and super nice functionality as well. So basically community discussions and everything else is the Yammer thing, and you can surface that easily in the SharePoint site. Scheduling betas and news posts, to be honest, finally, it's about time. So that's good that we're getting this. Just being open and honest as well. Pre-purpose overview exercise, betas and news. So basically, thumbnails and previews and all of that stuff. Extended site footer, so you can actually have a larger site footer. So extended, not a simple one. And you can set also the graphics on that one. So we're getting more branding capabilities available there as well. And then there's big focus point for us is the Microsoft Teams, so making things active and available in the Microsoft Teams as well. Microsoft Lists is a good example of that. So that works as an individual application, as surfaced in Microsoft Teams or surfaced in SharePoint, because it's basically the same tech for SharePoint Lists than it is actually as an individual application. So pretty cool. Conditional show hide columns in SharePoint lists and forms, so you can basically additional columns visibility on the lists. That's pretty cool as well. Create list for Microsoft Excel table, Microsoft Excel table, yeah. And a lot of other stuff as well. So, and this one was interesting. Just I haven't actually checked it out. Microsoft Stream to record your screen. Have any one of you actually tested out?
No, I haven't.
Not yet.
Not yet.
It's pretty interesting how they do that. So had to check it out. Also, Microsoft 365 Records Management is now generally available. So we're truly moving on the cloud to this kind of cross-services way of dealing things. Like taxonomy is cross Microsoft 365, records management cross Microsoft 365.
Which makes, by the way, perfect sense if you ask me.
It does.
Yeah. It's an ecosystem.
Yes.
More and more an ecosystem.
Exactly. Yeah. And like often, like, you never use one service by itself, right? You have email, you have documents, you have files, communication, you have records. It's all, you are all over the place. And you expect as a user, like you don't bother, you don't think in services. You think in 365, and that is, and you expect it to be exactly the same across the board.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I always talk about Microsoft 365 solutions and not just SharePoint solution or any solutions.
Yeah.
Microsoft 365, always.
Absolutely. Now, new things also from DC Badur, new SharePoint feature, modeling or purposing for pages and new news posts is now getting out in the SharePoint Online. And that's pretty cool. You can actually set up the multiple languages and then do the translations for them. It does not yet, at least, have the auto generation of the translation targets, but there's actually a pretty cool extension, which pretty recently was demonstrated in the community call, which actually makes this happen. It might actually come as a native feature at some point as well. What's new in Microsoft Teams? And there's quite a few things in here as well. So a lot of the announcements, which we have covered actually within the past week. So easily access meeting options, improved meeting join lounge experience. Okay. Download participant reports. That's actually really good. At least in our case, there's massive calls every now and then. So you understand who was actually there.
And it even shows you when they leave and when they come back, right? When they've entered, when they exit. So it's very handy.
Yeah, that's super handy. Yeah, absolutely. Background effects policy at the user level, Teams rooms, new tooling. That's cool looking tools. That's pretty, that could be a pretty hardcore for your home office, but hey, yeah, if you like to have that, so.
We are all geeks. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You have to have it.
We love collecting those kind of stuff.
Yeah. On the chat and collaboration, so the templates in Teams are coming, and that's really cool functionality. We mentioned that quite a few times. Microsoft lists are exposed in the Teams as well, and so you have the full list experience inside of the Teams as well. Now Skype for Teams Upgrader Advisor, because you should be getting away from Skype for Business. Super
for a long time now.
Absolutely. Yep. Visual Studio Code and Visual Studio Code extensions for Teams, which are in beta. I think both are in beta, public preview, yeah, starting for these. Pretty cool tooling, actually. So you can actually create easily Visual Studio Code solutions. So basically, if you're targeting right now, they're for JavaScript-based implementation. So if you're targeting JavaScript-based implementation, not TypeScript, then this is your option. Not replacing your Teams. It's just an alternative option for people to take advantage. So really cool stuff. A lot of stuff is happening actually on Teams sites due to obvious reasons. I think that's pretty understandable as well. Cool. Now, on the dev side of the house, a lap around Microsoft Craft Toolkit Day 8, Microsoft Craft Toolkit Recap, Build 2020, and what's on Season 2. So there is a Season 2 coming pretty soon on the lap around Microsoft Craft Toolkit, and there's already a list of articles in the Season 2. So these are the currently planned schedule. There might be some adjustments on the dates when stuff is going live. But really cool stuff, and I think part of this will be partly done by MVPs as well, which is great. So community building, guidance and documentation and blog posts together with Microsoft people. So really cool stuff. And that's, by the way, a super great set of controls as well. Now, CLI, do you want to talk about this one, Waldeck?
Yes. So we have released new version 2.10. We have a bunch of improvements, and some of the noteworthy ones is exactly what you see on the screen if you watch the video, is a new report for upgrading SPFX projects, which is based on the VS Code Code Tour extension. Basically, it allows you to, or it gives you a report that annotates your project code, basically telling you, going through each file, each line, like update this line to this, update this line to that, in this place, yep, add this. So make it like really interactive and more or richer than the reports that we had in the past based on the Markdown, for example. Right. So we see it as a great improvement. And there are some other improvements that we will add on top of that, making it even better. So that is one. Another one is we added support for authenticating using managed identity. So that makes it really easy to use CLI in automation, whether it's CI/CD, Azure Functions, scheduled jobs, and so forth, and so on. Like if you don't want to store credentials because that isn't really safe, you can use, yep, identity that is already assigned, whether to your VM or service, and then basically authenticate with that. So that makes it really, really just perfect made for these scenarios. And absolutely, then related to that, if all is well, soon we will be seeing the Office 365 CLI as a native part of the Azure Cloud Shell. So, ooh, in Azure, you will be able to open the shell, and in there, you will have by default already available CLI without the need to install it by yourself. So that's something, yep, we're working on, and which should be available soon.
Really cool.
And for the full list of changes and addition, visit the article that we will include in the notes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good summary. I really like the Go Tours, and that's an awesome functionality, because the CLI is definitely the easiest way to upgrade any SharePoint framework solution. It will just analyze the solution and then tell you exactly what you need to do to upgrade that, which is really, really cool. Now, let's move into the community articles. So this one is from Paul Bullock. Congratulations, Paul, by the way, you're a recent MVP still.
Yay!
Yay! Paul has been really active on the modernization side of the things. And one of the, I still love the fact that it's Paul's contribution to the modernization tooling, where if you have a SharePoint 2010 publishing sites in on-premises, the tooling will transform that to be a communication site in the cloud. And that's,
wow,
pretty mind-blowing. So you
that
don't
is
actually
like closing
to
the gap of 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. And so it does the migration and everything else as part of that transition. So it's
unbelievable.
Fabulous. Awesome stuff. But testing user preference language in SharePoint with PMP PowerShell. So basically around the PMP PowerShell and handling and checking the languages, what the user is having. So cool clarification. And then good to have also these reminders how things can be actually done. So it's more languages over there. Now, this one interesting from William van Steer, tips for customizing modern sites shared with B2B quests and use SPFX, do not use Power Apps. I had to actually go and check this out. It was tagged with the BNP weekly, but obviously it's understandable. The Power Apps do depend that there's a license. SPFX doesn't require a license, so it actually works with the external people as well. So makes perfect sense when I think about it. So, but again, SPFX is more pro development, and then Power Apps and Power Apps is really the is what's the right term? Is it pro development? It's
well, I mean, it is because it's an easy way to start. But then at some point, you might want to involve dev. So it's really it's a different way. It's just another approach.
Alternative, like. absolutely.
The lower code approach, right?
Lower code approach.
At least at the start.
Yeah. Well, yes. Hugo and I were doing a session where we were trying to identify the difference between something like SPFX and Power Apps or no code, low code. Well, what's after that? So we thought, well, there's no code, there's low code, and then there's mo code. A lot mo code.
Right? A lot mo code. See what you did there.
That's good. That's really good. So this one is from Anatoly Mironov, deploying SPFX using Office 365 CLI, custom Azure AD app, and Azure pipeline. So really nice blog post. I think it's pretty long as well. Well, walking through the steps of actually needed steps for making things happen. And it actually shows also the power of CLI as well, Office 365 CLI. So you can do simple stuff using the CLI way of things. Of course, you can do it BMP PowerShell as well in certain things. But again, they're complement tools, not a competition tool. So whatever is your preference, it's better to have too many tools than no tools, right?
Yeah.
Now, this one is from Harsha Vartini, how to create, generate GUAR code in SPFX web parts. So basically how to use the GUAR code NPM packages, and then how to use that within your SPFX web part and get the stuff out. So that's pretty cool as well. Pretty useful for those camera apps, at least. It took me years to understand what the QR code was all about, because I never bothered to actually go and figure it out. And then it's like, well, here's the code. I'm like, da-di-da-di-da.
Okay.
But there's a point of camera, any camera, any mobile camera, one of those, you can actually see a link or a message or whatever. So it's actually pretty cool technology.
Yeah, most of the cameras are phones now, the default camera, like on the iPhone, just the default camera will pick up the QR code. You don't have to have a special app or anything.
Yeah, I had no idea. So anyway, so this one from Trivial or Boo George, not the boy George, like you said it in one of the community calls. That's a good joke, by the way. Modern SharePoint page breadcrumbs fix. So basically, in the modern SharePoint pages, we do not have breadcrumbs. But if people would like to have breadcrumbs, you can absolutely actually do that kind of things as well. But this is talking about a web part to web part, which can actually be used to show the breadcrumb. So you can actually build the hierarchies, even though they're actually stored in a single document library, but you can actually do this kind of a virtual hierarchy between the pages, which is actually pretty cool. And sample is in the SPDFFX web part, so that's easily findable from there. Ooh. Now, this one is from Joel Rogers, set up WSL2 for SPFX development. Why would you do that? Well, Deck, I'm just throwing a question for you.
Speed. No development is notoriously slow on Windows for a reason. And basically, WSL allows you to run Linux on Windows, which is like the other day someone said that like the best Linux experience is on Windows nowadays. or like Windows is the best distro of Linux, like something along these lines, because it is. Like you have a fully fledged user-friendly OS and then allows you to run Linux inside it with full access to your files.
Yep.
Right. So, absolutely. Like, if you are on Windows and you need Linux, this is the way to go, and it's really good experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. To be fair, I have to say that the scaffolding isn't too painful anymore, even in the normal Windows. But this one, using WSL2, will even increase that speed from that. So it was pretty horrible, by the way, at the SPFX version 1.0 timeframe, because there's so much stuff actually coming in for every single package. But again, modern dev web development, what can you do? Now, this one is from Mike Hommel. Better sharing is caring, and knowledge sharing for developers. And basically, the whole point was that the obviously we want to share information and want to share learnings and how things can be done. And he is then comparing here Jupyter Labs or covering Jupyter Labs and then CodeTours as an options to decorate the code more efficiently. Coming back on again on the, for example, the discussion which we just had, making it easier for people to understand what on earth were you thinking. So adding a notes and adding a clarification. Yeah. And if you have a large development team, you want to align that development team to do the right code guidance and consistent coding standards, right? Using these kind of tools can be super helpful. Three more. Sharing SharePoint framework, Webpack 4, and tree shaking. Anyone want to explain briefly what this is all about? What is tree shaping?
Idea is that when you include, for example, library like Odash, right? It has tons of functions for anything and everything. Chances are that you don't use all of them in your code. But by default, you are including all of that in your code. Or like in React, like you will include buttons and dropdowns and list and whatnot. And you might only need a text field, right? So with this approach, you can shake tree, in other words, remove whatever you don't use, which will then bring down the size of your package.
Yep. And then the performance will be better in the performance will be much better in the UX. And obviously if we have a look on any of the let's say modern web stack, modern web development experiences, websites, if they haven't been truly optimized, they can be massive, like megabytes.
A web part can be few megs, like one web part is like insane, but that is default experience, right?
Yeah, that's actually pretty interesting reduction of the web part size. It's impressive. More than tenfold. Yeah,
exactly.
Wow.
And it's just like you pull in just one function and you get everything in.
Yeah. Cute. And then this one is from Joanna Klein, being inclusive across Microsoft 365. A nice, really good article around accessibility options and how to make sure that those settings and everything is enabled by default, and making sure that what does it mean if you're adding actually an alternative text for the images and all of that stuff. And there's a lot of tooling available inside of the Office and Microsoft 365 of making sure that those things are properly done for making the documents even more approachable so that people can easily access them. So check accessibility, and then that will check the things. And in certain countries, not actually in Finland, but I think Netherlands, as an example, have certain requirements related on accessibility levels. I think Finland actually has it as well, for website at least.
Yep.
In Italy as well, for public sector, you have to be compliant with accessibility.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. And the last thing, I think, David, your turn to explain what this is all about. We talked about this one a few times, but that's a great slogan, by the way.
I figured you might like it. Came up with it. So I mean, a lot of people know now, but the point behind sharing is caring is to provide that support to contribute to the community together, right? So you don't have to go do it on your own. We do work in tech and we're all developers, but we don't necessarily always know how to work with all the tools that are there for us. So sharing is caring provides the opportunity for you to come in, get hands-on lessons with myself and other MVPs at Assist, Hugo Bernier, and more coming soon to show you how to start from the ground up, right? So the first time contributor session is just about how to contribute to the documentation. How to make changes and corrections when we see that lowercase p in SharePoint, because it happens, right? Or the lowercase s in JavaScript or something like that. How you can correct that, and don't diminish that contribution. They all count. When you look at the list of contributors every month that we'll see at the beginning of the month in the monthly call and in the blog. There's no asterisk that says like, oh, just corrected a spelling mistake or a grammar mistake.
Just a dot.
Right,
just a
exactly. No, yes. No, it's all good stuff. So we've got more coming.
Again, sorry, David, I have to say, because again, anything is better than nothing.
Yeah.
Every single small fix is better than nothing, and every single small fix counts, and that's super important thing. Sorry, David.
Yeah, no, that's okay. And it's funny because I call it like the gateway drug to bigger or better things, right?
It's true.
Starts you small,
true.
And then you get hooked. You're like, oh my goodness, I could do this all day long, and I get credit for it. It's fantastic. So
it empowers you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have this new sense of empowerment. So we have the first-time contributor sessions here. We're always going to start putting the new events on this page. We just met with Mark Anderson, so we've got the community docs sessions loading up here soon, which are fantastic because, again, you don't have to feel like you're a developer to contribute to the community. If you've got that ability to write good articles, then you can do it there. Yep. We've got Parker's Place, which, of course, is a store for the community designs. And so while that's not necessarily tied directly to sharing is caring, if you're artistic and you have designs, we're starting out with community designs that allow you to show those up in the store. And then, of course, I think the one I'm most excited about is the new buddy system, which we started out based right there below the events for those who want a demo. I mean, you know, contributing can be a little hard because you're putting yourself out there. But once you do it, you've done it. But then getting on a call to talk about it can be a little scary and nervous. And I mean, you know, what do they say? Some people are more afraid of public speaking than they are death. Right?
Yes.
So, in case you haven't noticed what we're talking about, just look at your screen. but the point is that we'll buddy up with you, right? We'll help you out and we'll do the demo with you. And this is for demoing. And we're also finding that this helps out with just other things as well. We're finding that if you want to, Mark Anderson had talked about combining this with the community docs. If you want to write something with someone, if you want to build the sample together. So it also is just a great initiative to bring more collaboration to the community because we are always communicating and interacting. And so now this is an even better way to do that. And we're seeing more and more co-presentations and co-demos, which I think is fantastic. So definitely fill out that form if you're interested.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, David, for that one. And like I said, so like David just reiterate on there, and this is really the whole point is that people are afraid of using GitHub. People are afraid of, hey, so I would love to be able to do X and Y and Z, but I don't know how. And then
but
the
makes
weird
perfect
thing
sense
is
because it overwhelms you, right? I mean, like if you're a dev, like the first time, like it took me probably, I don't know, a year or so to like fully grasp the idea of what is a rebase and a pull request that you actually push. Like, why
I still don't have any idea. So that's fine.
Exactly. So. Right. So like it's only simple and it's easy after you got it. You've done it a few times and then it's easy. But before then, like everybody goes through exactly the same hoops. It's difficult, like everything else.
Yep. And it requires time booking for learning the thing, right?
Yeah, and all the terms are hard to write, forking and upstream and downstream and commit and push and pull, and you're like, what's that anything to do with the code?
So with that, let me tell you a story, and that resonates
so
exactly with
this. This is a family show, for just a reminder.
It is. So for I don't know how long, I tried to learn to eat with chopsticks.
Yep.
I just couldn't get it to like you could be like, how hard is it? Like you get two sticks, a single hand, like five fingers, like how hard is it? I just couldn't get it.
Yep.
And then somebody showed it to me and it clicked immediately. So in other words, it just takes like one tutor, like one person who is experienced, who can explain it well, and then it clicks. And then while you can try yourself, like you have all resources available. There are videos on YouTube, there are blog posts, there's like this and that. Still, like if it's not the way you think, it will not click and you will struggle, you will find it hard. And sometimes having that other person explain it to you, it makes difference of day and night.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, and taking it bit by bit, right? So don't try to
bite
off the whole thing all at once and learn everything there is to know about GitHub beginning to end. Just what is the one thing you need to know first? How to change a misspelling or a grammar or something like that, then, you know, the next session, we'll show you something bigger and better. And then you build on it just like anything else.
Exactly.
But that's, again, a really good example of those things where people are thinking, well, but this isn't a big enough thing. No. You click on edit, you fix the typo, you submit. You actually contributed. And yep. Why is that count as a contribution? Because you help the other people. That's the whole point. Yep. It's fixing those smaller things has super, they have absolutely value as well.
Knowing that you can, right? Like exactly, the funny thing, you go to Microsoft.com and you see edit and you're like, well, I'm not a Microsoft employee. I have no business clicking that.
Exactly.
And it's like the whole other world behind this, you know, Wizard of Oz has gone from black and white to color. Whoa. I'm in Oz,
like,
right?
It's things like for majority of folks, like a difference of a comma or a period, like that might be like irrelevant. But maybe for someone who is dyslexic, it's not. Like, it makes them, it helps them to understand the message you convey, which is why it's like even the smallest of things are important, because there are people who struggle with reading, with grammar. Maybe they even are proficient that well with English, right? So every single thing you can, every single adjustment you can make, as small as it is, to help anybody else to understand the message, the content, that's helpful. That is invaluable.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's all about practice and practice and practice. Because again, if I go back on my start of, let's say, starting to sharing things, I did my own YouTube videos in my YouTube channel. They're still there. Slightly outdated, but all good.
Don't watch that. Don't find that.
there's a blog posts which are out. And if I go back and start reading those blog posts, it's actually quite painful because I can see spots of typos and typos and typos. And I cringe to myself and everything else. But again, even at the time when I wrote those, it was all about, hey, I want to get it out so that other people can benefit out of it. And actually, it's better than not getting it out. So I only have a certain period of time, and I don't have a time to make it super high quality. So just and out. Yes, they're still valuable. I think my web template blog post, unfortunately, still gets like tens of thousands of views every single month. So people don't use it.
It is still in my favorites.
Yes. Every day, I start my day with going to that blog. I was like,
Every Monday morning.
Things are good. Like, everything will change around me, but this article allows me to.
It's a good example of things, but then at the same time, it's a good example. I still remember when I started actually doing that in the YouTube, I was severely attacked by an MVP. Actually, a Canadian-based MVP openly in internet with their blog post basically saying, why is Microsoft publishing these videos? They were my own YouTube channel, which is like, what the? can happen, and that can happen for our people if you're contributing. But the whole point being on the fact that if there's a one bully, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be actually contributing. So there's so many other people who would be benefiting out of those contributions and will be happy
absolutely.
That you actually did that. So and super, super important thing to just keep on doing and contributing and practice.
And also for that, right? Like, it's inevitable in a way that at some point you will come across somebody who, I don't know, doesn't appreciate your work, has different opinion, different meaning, whatever. Like, at that point, it's perfect. It's actually great to have a safety net around you, meaning that other group that does exactly that's been exactly through the same thing, just talk to them. Like, I had a bad day. I shared something like, guys, do you see that? And then you'll be able to share, talk about it, and that will help you to get through these rough times that you will get the moment you share anything in the open. Because, like, there are people like that who, I don't know, choose to spend their time on that, and I don't know, that's their right.
It's inevitable. Trolls exist.
So let me also say that. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, Paolo. No.
Let me also say that if you want to contribute to the community and you start thinking about, for example, being a speaker in a conference, starting with a short video recorded on YouTube will be your way to practicing and becoming a better speaker. And if you would like to write a huge white paper or even a book, you should start writing a blog post. And step by step, starting from a few blog posts, you can end up having a book or having a huge white paper and stuff like that. You should start from small pieces of contribution to target a bigger goal. That's my feeling, at least. You can't say, absolutely, okay, tomorrow I want to write a book. It's not how it works. It will take ages to get there, you know? So step by step.
Yep.
Yeah, basically the same way the same way as they say, right? Like, how do you eat elephant?
Yeah. One
piece
bite
by
at
piece.
A time.
Exactly. Yeah. One bite at a time, yeah.
Well, and to your point, Waldick, where you said eventually you're going to get criticized. Someone's going to come in and say something. I think the other flip side of that is that we being everyone in the community, need to remember to give positive reinforcement. When you see something that's good, say you like it. Don't just be like, oh, that's awesome. They know it. Yeah. They know it's good. So I'm not going to say anything, right? Yeah. No. It's like, say you enjoyed it. Say they're doing a great job, because that positive reinforcement can help give that encouragement that a person needs, that and drive that passion to keep them going past those down days and
difficult
frustrating
times.
Days.
Yep.
And then at the end of the day, like we're human, right? Yeah. So like no matter whether you are idolized or whatever, like you are a person and you appreciate good comment or feedback or judge us the fact exactly as you said that somebody appreciates your work. It's that simple.
Yep.
Absolutely. You spent the time on contributing, you spent the time on giving something away from yourself for other people, getting the positive reinforcement, super important. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep. Agree on that. Which is, by the way, a great thing to see that more and more people are focusing on this positive reinforcement and the fact that we're building stuff together, because that wasn't the case like a decade ago. The world was completely different in the internet. And nowadays people do get, and if somebody attacks, they actually get, counterattacked in a positive way as well, if so to say. Anyway, I think we'll close up at this point and at this thinking point. Sharing is caring, like David's shared is saying. By the way, Parker's store is the location to get those, and all of the proceeds, all of the profits go to charity. So
100%. Yep.
Yes. So, but I think that's it for this week. So thank you everybody for listening and watching. We do apologize. We needed to take a 1 week off from the typical weekly schedule. We'll continue on the weekly schedule from this moment forward. Any last words, any last encouragements for people? Let's do a quick round table. Everybody's like, no, I don't have any.
Just thank you for having me. I was just going to make a joke before I was going to say, so starting from now.
Come on, guys, you should stop this game.
Viz and Waldick will stop making fun of me and my videos.
It's positive reinforcement. Like, we really appreciate you doing that.
Just kidding.
And I think it is great.
No, I love it. And I can smile. You see that I can smile.
Yes, it's physically possible. There you go.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Yep, likewise. Thanks,
David. And we'll be back with the new PMP Weekly within a week. So, bye-bye. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.